previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Excuse me. And if I'm having a shitty day, I'll make sure you do as well. No urine test. Nothing. They're getting into something they have no idea. Contorted into a donut.
And now, today's episode of the Ron Van Dam Show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Are you holding on tight?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Really?
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. This is the Ron Van Dam Show, in case you didn't know. Although I think you did, because I think you purposely have to click on us or listen to us to know what's going on. So you know it's the Ron Van Dam Show, Don't even go there. Welcome to the program. Make yourself comfortable. I have one of my people walking around with a finger sandwich tray. And today we're featuring seafood salad and bologna. Not separately, on the same sandwich. It's... What is it about bologna, man? I've got a thing about bologna. What kid doesn't? When I was growing up, I don't even know what bologna is. I can almost imagine what's in a hot dog, but bologna, you've got me totally floored. I have no idea what that crap is. All I know is it's very salty and very tasty. I don't know what's in there. I think some of my deceased relatives may have a little bit of a role in that. I don't know. It tastes a little bit like grandpa. When I was growing up, bologna sandwiches were like every day. I wanted my mother to make a bologna sandwich. And retrospectively, I might as well just have asked my mother to just throw a couple of slabs of fat down my throat, because that's all that is. So yesterday, I'm in a supermarket in this area. It's called the Market Basket, which is a cute little name for a supermarket. It's a big chain, though. I'm in there, and I'm walking around, and I see this case of deli meats. I usually stay away from the deli meat case because it's all crap. It's all nitrates. They might as well just call it the nitrate section. It's what it is. But it's tasty stuff. It's alluring, tasty stuff. So I'm passing by the deli case, you know, just as a fancy. And I'm seeing... I'm seeing these wrapped little packages of deli meats, and I look down, and it says, German bologna. And it's a half a pound for 90 cents. 90 cents for anything is amazing. 90 cents. Oh! I know. So I pick it up, and I look at this, and I stare at the little package, the 90-cent package, the half pound of bologna, and I'm staring at it like, should I do it? And then I get into this thing that I think you get into as well. This is where we bond. I have two shoulders on my body. There's a shoulder on my right. There's a shoulder on my left. And I've seen this in the movies, but I didn't know it was real. All of a sudden, my shoulders start arguing with each other. There's a little man sitting on my left shoulder. I can see him. And there's a little man sitting on my right shoulder. The one on my left is dressed like an angel, like a lovely, lovely angel. The little man on the right of my shoulder is dressed like the devil, has a pitchfork in one hand and a piece of bologna in the other. And I don't know what to do. And then my shoulders start arguing with each other. They're having an argument that's unbelievable. My body parts are in conflict. The angel side, the left side, is saying,
"Ran, you can't have that. You must eat properly and wonderfully and save the world with your harmonious love and understanding, and a piece of bologna can destroy you. It's evil. It's terrible."
And then my right shoulder says, "Eat the bologna. You only live once if I let you live that long. Eat the bologna. It's full of wonderful nutrients and chemicals. It could kill you, but I love death." Oh, my shoulders are arguing. And my left shoulder saying,
"Don't do it, Ron. Don't do it for the love of the children. Don't do it for society. You have such an integral part in society, and you must be free and clear and healthy and wonderful and love and prosperous. And bologna is the Antichrist. It's horrible. It was created by the devil."
And my right shoulder says, "Yes, I created bologna, but look, you only live once, Ron. Eat the bologna. Eat tons of bologna. That's fantastic. Life is nothing but a piece of bologna, just sliced in different thicknesses. Other than that, enjoy, and then drink alcohol until you can't move anymore and the room is spinning, and take all kinds of terrible things and put it in your body. I am the devil, and I promote this type of horrible stuff." And my left shoulder is, as the angel is saying, "Don't listen to your right shoulder. I know the devil, not a nice thing. Don't do it, Ron. Stay. Come to the light. Stay beautiful and fancy free, and don't even eat meat. Don't eat anything. Only have the juices of the gods." And my right shoulder, the devil is, "Oh, screw your left shoulder, if you possibly can. So don't listen to your left. Listen to me. I am the soul of, I shall be taking your soul anyway. We all know that. You're not going to heaven. You screwed that up when you were like 6 years old. So why even bother?" Wow. So it's going back and forth, and I'm staring at the package of bologna, which I still have clasped in my hands, and I must make a decision, because decision time has come. What am I going to do? Well, I picked up the package of bologna and put it in the cart, and I went to the checkout lane. Now, the checkout lane at this Market Basket supermarket is about 7 miles long. It's a very popular supermarket because the prices are very low, and the food's not horrible. I've lowered the bar to, it's not horrible. So I have plenty of time online to change my mind, to turn around and put the bologna back, man, or just ditch the bologna, man. And my shoulders are still arguing back and forth, and they don't know what to do. And then I'm the next person at the checkout, and then I get to the checkout, and this lovely lady is standing next to the cash register, and she says, "How are you today?" And I respond by saying, I'm in horrible, horrible conflict. And she says, "Well, what's the matter?" I said, "It's this bologna. I don't know whether to buy it or not. I don't know if it's not healthy for me, but I want to buy it for some reason." And then she stares at me and she says,
By the baloney, Ron.
Wow, she's been taken over by my right shoulder.
So I buy the baloney. Now, here's the sick part of it. Ron, that wasn't the sick part? That whole thing wasn't the sick part?
No, it wasn't the sick part. I got in the car, and as soon as I sat down and started the engine, I leaned over and opened up the little bag of the plastic bag of the shopping thing, and I opened it up, and I saw the little package of bologna, and I opened up the package, and I started eating the bologna in the car like a crack addict. I didn't eat all the bologna, but by the time I got home, which was about 5-10 minutes away, I felt sick to my stomach. It felt horrible. Not only did I feel sick to my stomach from the fat and the nitrates, although the taste of the bologna was familiar and wonderful, my stomach didn't feel very good. I felt sick. I felt horrible. But not only that, I felt horrible about myself. I had let myself down. I had done something horrible. I had conflicted myself. I let the worst of me win. And that was a horrible feeling. So, ladies and gentlemen, my point is this. Don't follow your shoulders. Follow your gut.
The three sweetest words in podcasting? Ron Van Dam. Wow. Gave myself a little erection saying that one. And I forgot to turn off the microphone.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Not a big deal. You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single freaking weekday. I know. There's over 1,200 episodes to listen to on the Podbean Network. They house all these things. And then you can find it on all kinds of outlets. The Amazon Alexa thing, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud. Things that I don't even know about. They just start appearing. We post these on YouTube every single day as well. So, and then we're picked up by radio stations syndicated across this great country of ours. While people are trying to fight for freedom, I'm apparently just talking crap for half an hour. So, we each have our purposes, I suppose. Hey, let me introduce some of the people that do great things on this show. Your announcer and comedy writer and comedy commercial producer is John Shanahan, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up. Give it up. The music is composed and performed for this program, as this song is in the background, by Jason Shaw. Thank you, Jason. The British lady that you hear at the beginning of the program is also our national talent producer. She books many of the interviews that appear on this program, and her name is Nicole Reed. Thanks, Nicole. And we have contributors to the program. On Mondays, we're joined by Tori Lagarde, who's an actress and a humorist, and we talk about the weird things going on in the news and other things. And on Wednesdays, we do a chit-chat kind of segment with Alicia Carey, who usually joins us from a coffee shop somewhere on the streets of New York City. And we talk about social things that we go through, interactions with people, and how to live this crazy lifestyle that we all live through. And then there's me, Ron Van Dam, who used to love bologna. hope you're doing well during this holiday season. It's such a screwed up time of year, isn't it? People running around frantically trying to buy things, and it's very odd. It's a very odd thing. You know, we're living, you and I are living through a part of history that no one else has ever really lived through, at least not to this extent. Follow me now. Follow me on Twitter. Actually, I'm on Twitter, but I don't ever go there because that guy in the White House has always taken up all the space on the Twitter thing. I can't get on. He's spending so much time on Twitter. When I go to tweet something or to twat something, it says, "I'm sorry, it's busy. Bozo's using it." So upset. Anyway, speaking of Bozo, which I refer to as Individual One, in such a hot peck of trouble that he's a hot mess, and every lie he's told publicly that he's contradicted with himself publicly is starting to come out. He didn't know about payments, and then you have a tape of him commandeering payments. All the lies are starting to be, and the only people that still like Individual One are the ones that say, "I don't care if he shoots somebody in the middle of Manhattan, I'm still following him." You guys will always be with him, but most people aren't. We are living through what will soon be indictments, superior court battles as to whether you can actually indict a president on a crime while he's in office. These things are, and then you have an election coming up in a little less than 2 years. It's going to be fascinating, man. It's going to be the most fascinating time to live, as long as things stay fairly safe on an international level, of course. But nationally, this is fascinating. We've never been through anything like this. We're such an incredibly large dickhead was running the country in the Oval Office. We've never had anything like... Oh, we've had dickheads, a vast number of dickheads in the White House, depending on your beliefs in the dickhead phenomenon. But to have someone that rises above dickhead and actually reaches the heights of douchebag, this is fascinating. Will he be impeached? Will he be indicted? Will nothing happen to him? Is he insane? Of course he is. He's starting to refer to himself as Trump. He's speaking about himself in the third person. That's the first sign of breaking down. I mean, I've known normal people that had breakdowns, nervous breakdowns, ended up in hospitals because they were mentally broken for a period of time. This guy is like, he's the top candidate, not to be president, but to have a breakdown. He doesn't get it. He's never dealt with other people. He spent his whole life being the king and the decision maker. He's been involved in everything that he's put his fingers on. And he thought he could run the government all by himself, and that every branch of the government was simply working for him. Like major king douchebag. We're living through this, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you support the man or not, stuff's coming down big time. Biggest question for me, which will be most interesting, is can a sitting president be indicted? Or, to put it simply, can you break the law as the president and not be touched? Because you're the president. In other words, when you're the president, you can do anything you want and they can't touch you. Is that what this democracy is? We'll find out. Because, as they say, no one is above the law. Not even the biggest douchebag ever. Okay, Ron, how do you really feel about the situation? I don't know. I could go one way or the other. All I know is I would love to go to a restaurant right now that had a pasta special. I love pasta.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta Lamooza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Lanooza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paducah.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajol.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Cline.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
Josh Hendricks of CV Sciences joins us. He's a hemp industry expert, and there's some breaking news, kind of, is on this front. And we're talking about the legalization of hemp. I'm a little confused because hemp was an illegal substance. Now it's being considered not to be. But why would it be illegal if it wasn't a hallucinatory drug thing?
Well, you know, hemp was lumped in with all cannabis back in the 30s with the Marijuana Tax Act.
And, okay.
Essentially, they couldn't figure out how to synthesize it and mass produce it, whether that's cannabis that had a psychoactive effect, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Or cannabis like hemp that, you know, they found better uses for. There's, you know, obviously conspiracy theories that all the people who made paper and plastic and nylon all got together and said, we got to get rid of this hemp crop. It's too hard to compete with. That's just not true.
Okay.
The reality is when they created nylon and plastic, they thought they created the greatest thing ever. And hemp was really hard and nasty and a lot of manual labor, so they decided to go with an easier path, not knowing that that was going to be bad for our planet and things like that, but right. I think that's how we got here.
Okay. Now, there's a component in hemp that apparently has surfaced, and I don't know how long ago, as being an actual health benefit in a very major regard. How long has that realization been there?
Well, you know, I guess in general, it was discovered in the 90s that we all have an endocannabinoid system that we need to take cannabinoids, and the THC, the part that gets you high when you smoke marijuana,
right,
is just one of the many compounds in the plant. And the hemp plant, it's actually got a higher amount of CBD than any other compound. And what we're learning is that CBD, while non-psychoactive, non-intoxicating is how I'd like to say it, is really just one of the many factors that can work as a dietary supplement to help balance out your system and just make you feel better overall.
Okay. So now this is being touted as one of the great health discoveries of our time. And I guess the U.S. Agricultural or whoever oversees that has actually said, yeah, we're going to legalize it for this reason because there are benefits involved.
Well, it's not even about the benefits, really. I mean, we're just now learning the details of those, and CBD is very new in the marketplace. But hemp products have been legal, you know, officially since 2004, but our whole lives. The only part of the hemp plant that was on the Controlled Substance Act is the plant itself or live seeds, meaning any products that stem from those have been legal. Now, this farm bill will certainly clear that up.
Yeah.
But it'll mean a lot for the marketplace because it does define hemp products. Uh-huh. And as you mentioned, this is kind of a health phenomenon. As my friend Mark Blumenthal said, if CBD came from any other plant, we would look at it as the most revolutionary discovery of mankind.
Right.
Because it is helping with so many different things. Yeah. But yeah, getting people to understand the source that this is an agricultural crop and that kind of stuff is always tough.
And this would open up quite an industry in an agricultural sense.
Well, it's going to take some time. We've got about a 70-year, other countries have about a 70-year head start on us, which is good and bad.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, it gives us an opportunity to, you know, do this the right way, hopefully not Monsantize this and GMO it and that kind of thing, but also puts it at a disadvantage because we've got to play catch up with all these other industrialized nations that are growing hemp on a commodity scale.
Yeah, but they've done all the work, so to speak. So,
that's good, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. people are talking about this. I've done a few interviews on CBD, but it's in its infancy as far as availability is concerned in this country, certainly. But what I'm hearing about it is quite phenomenal. Yet I know little about it.
It's kind of the same story with everybody. My parents are the same as you. They were. Everybody thought I was crazy 4 or 5 years ago when I quit my job to move home and get involved in the hemp industry. Right. Matter of fact, my boss said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm moving home and get involved in the hemp industry." And he said, "You know that doesn't exist, right?" And I said, "Yeah, but it will." And knowing that there's really no negative that comes with hemp, right? It's good for the soil. Yeah. It's good for the farmer to diversify. It's going to create jobs at the processing level. Manufacturers like CV Sciences, where I work, are going to produce great products. Retailers are going to sell great products, and consumers are going to consume them, and you can't find a negative, situation in there. So right. I asked people to go through that with me. It's the same thing I did with Senator Mitch McConnell, and everyone goes, "Okay, I see your point.
Right.
Now, how do we make this happen, and how do we go from radical prohibition to legalization?"
Yeah.
I think the Farm Bill is the easiest path for now, and we'll continue to see it develop after that.
Well, here's the interesting part of this is that the demand for it is far exceeding the development, in the sense that everybody who hears about this wants to order it now, not to wait. They want to get a hold of this thing. That's a very interesting component to supply and demand in such a radical manner.
Yeah, that's not always going to be the case. I think hemp, especially with this farm bill and especially with cannabis in general in states like Colorado and California, et cetera, you're never going to have a shortage of cannabis again. So what you've got to do is figure out the most efficient way to produce it.
Yeah.
Because if a pound of marijuana and a pound of hemp are both $30 a pound right now, and we know hemp's going to go down a lot faster, you got to figure out how to produce it for a heck of a lot cheaper than what we're doing with marijuana. So.
Right.
Yeah, I think the supply-demand issue is going to be an interesting thing to watch over the next couple of years as we start to develop more technology and cooler products, not just plus CBD oil like we make, but also some of these fiber composite materials and door panels and things like that. The sky really is the limit with this plant. We just got to have the full legalization to kind of open up the floodgates.
Do you find as soon as people hear about it, and want it, that they would start ordering and trying to get it from other locations outside of the country, which I think is legal, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and that's the thing. When you talk about the food and the fiber, so not the CBD aspect, you got to be able to compete.
Yes.
And if you're making your composite material, some type of, you make speakers, let's say, and you're like, "Oh, I want to use hemp," you have to basically sit there and look at it. Okay, do you want to spend twice as much money to use hemp? Of course not. So you have to make it competitive and really flood the market with it and have a competitive advantage.
Yeah. Well, CV Sciences is what we're talking about, what the connection is, and how would one get more information about this? They've heard about it, but, we're kind of talking around it because we don't have a long time here, but how do you get more information?
Yeah, so at CV Sciences, we are the leader in producing hemp-derived CBD products. It's really, there's two companies that are kind of leading the way. One does it mainly direct to consumer. We're mainly on retail shelves. So we kind of own the shelf space in the independent health food world with our product line, plus CBD oil. So you can go to pluscbdoil.com.
Uh-huh.
You can usually find at your local independent health food store, depending on your location. But you can always go online and... I think those two websites, CV Sciences and PlusCBDoil.com, will tell you a lot about the company and what we're doing. We make dietary supplements, obviously, but we're also interested in a lot of other stuff. We're working on organic farming research with Rodale and Patagonia and Dr. Bronner's. We're certainly looking to expand our domestic footprint within the hemp space, and I think people are starting to really see some of the good we're doing in research come to fruition, and it's benefiting everybody, not just us. A rising tide rises all ships.
Yeah.
I truly believe in that, which is why I helped found the U.S. Hemp Roundtable, which if you go to hempsupporter.com, anybody that supports the industry or just wants more information, can certainly check that out. Check out the news section. Sign up with your email so you get all the emails, and that's really the lead lobbying group for this. And so we're pushing you know, this federal thing, but then we're going to have state by state issues and probably county by county and so on down the line. Just educating people.
That's great. I mean, there is such a run against pills these days, and more so to more natural situations like oils, which can be either topically applied or ingested, whatever the case may be. It's going to be quite a phenomenon. Okay, one more time, that website?
The last one there was hempsupporter.com. And then for CV Sciences, Susan Cat, B as in Victor, Sciences, plural.com. And then plus, PLUSCBDOil.com is where you can find all of our products.
Great. Hey, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Very cool. Thank you.
Have a good one. Okay. See ya.
Bye-bye. That'll do it for me today. I have a feeling it'll do it for you, too. I have this feeling. I'll be back again the next time another weekday rolls around. Until then, I wish you peace.